says in James 2:14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou hath faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to meet together tonight and preach. Lord, I pray you give me the words to say to help the church. Lord, I pray that listen and be able to watch, Lord. I pray you help the internet and the technology there to keep up and be able to watch the video without interruptions. Lord, I pray you help it work smoothly tonight. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. We're moving along a little faster in James than we were in chapter number 1. We spent a while in chapter 1. Now in chapter number 2, we'll be closing it out tonight. There's two sermons in chapter number 2. We've been learning about James is teaching us how to become mature Christians, how mature Christian ought to act. That's what we've been learning about, different stages in that. That's what we've been studying here. We learned about how a mature Christian handles his battles, whether they are trials or temptations to sin. It's important we know how to handle them and react to them. If we can withstand them, if we will just remain faithful, there will be a reward. And we learned about that, a crown of righteousness we talked about in the last chapter. Then we looked at the Christian and his Bible. How the Bible is a perfect gift and it's a graft. It ought to put some roots down and it's a glass. It's a mirror we can look into and learn what we need to change. Not only that, but then in chapter number 2, we learned about the Christian and his brethren. How we ought to treat those outside of the church. James emphasizes the rich and the poor in his example. You can use that in many different ways. We may not like to admit it. We do have a problem with this. How it is a sin. It is a sin to look down on others, not just an opinion. James says it's a sin against God. We looked at that down until verse number 13, that same subject. Now in verse 14 to the end of the chapter, James dwells on one more subject, completely different, and that's the Christian and his beliefs. There are some misconceptions taken from these verses here. You can take one verse or a phrase inside of a verse, and you can make up a lot of trouble and cause yourself a lot of trouble in false religion if you're not careful. Those on the one side of the faith and works argument will take this chapter and say it's not worth anything. This chapter is worthless. It's talking about how you ought to work for your salvation. Some people have said that, and that's obviously not true. That you can't ignore a chapter in the Bible. It's all there for a reason, precept upon precept. Then you have the other persuasion. Those that believe in salvation by their works, they will take James chapter 2, 14 through 26 out of context, and they'll try to prove that you cannot have salvation without your work. They try to prove their belief that salvation is by their works. And we know that's not the case either. We know that salvation is by grace through faith. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It says again in Titus 3, 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." I want to make it very clear tonight and evident that works without faith are not going to get you anywhere. Please do not understand me. Not you can act like the best Christian on earth. You can go through all the motions. You can be the best member of your community. But if you do not have salvation by grace through faith, then you are not saved. Please don't misunderstand that tonight. Works without faith is worthless. You can work your entire life and not get yourself above the ceiling here. Works without faith is not going to save you. Please don't misunderstand me here tonight. James is not trying to say that. And we'll get to more of that here in a minute. There were two trains of thought here in these early stages as well, I believe, when James wrote this. And that's what James is trying to wade through and help to straighten out here in this early church. The Jews, who lived solely on their works, period. They lived by the Old Testament law, and they put their trust in their works they were committing, not faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. They only trusted in the works. That's one side of the story. Then there are the others who have been saved from that, or the Gentiles that have been saved, and that were apparently, from what we read here, they were apparently living with their faith, making a profession of faith, and doing no works, doing nothing about it. They went complete opposite direction. They professed faith in Christ, yet you couldn't tell a difference between them and the worst sinner there was, according to what James is teaching here. That's what James is addressing. If you want to be saved, you must first put faith in a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done for you at the cross. If you want to be saved, that is the only way. That's the only way to get to heaven. Somebody else tells you something different, they're wrong. Go to the Bible. I'm not saying that arrogantly. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not my opinion. It's not my words. That's what Jesus Christ teaches us in the Scriptures. Follow that. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But after you're saved, if you want to be a mature Christian, James is teaching us here about how to be a mature Christian, how to not only have faith, but actually put some feet to our faith, to do something with our faith. Not get saved and not ever do anything for the Lord. Actually put some feet to our faith. Look at several points here in the rest of this chapter. Starting in verse number 14, we see the approach James takes. Says in verse number 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" James says here, what good is it if a man says he has faith and does not have any works? What kind of faith is that? Some will and have and probably will again take this verse and ignore the rest of the chapter and ignore the rest of the Bible, and they'll take this one verse and that last phrase there, and they'll try to make their point. This is how false religions and cults get started. You have to take the entire passage, understand the context before you run and try to come to conclusions. And you be careful with that. You can't take one phrase out of Scripture and make it say whatever you want it to say. It needs to be in context. I could take that verse there, verse number 14, and I could put it on a T-shirt, and I could make my own new religion, and that's what many people have done, and that'll get you in trouble. Be careful when you study your Bible, you get the entire context. So verse number 14, we need to understand the context of what James is trying to say here. Now, after you read the rest of James' position here and study the rest of it, you'll understand what he's trying to say in verse number 14. He's making the point, and we'll explain more verse by verse, but he's making the point that faith without works is probably not a real faith. It's only a profession, not a possession. We've talked about that before. So he says, can faith save him? Can that faith, the fake faith, can that save him? Can that empty, probably useless faith, can that faith save him? Well, answer that question with a context in mind, the answer would be no. A worthless, not true, empty faith is not going to save anybody. An empty, useless faith that has no substance, that isn't real, it's not going to save you. Because it's not real. It takes real faith, real confession, and forgiveness between you and Jesus Christ. Not some made-up sentence that you read off. Not something that you say just to make everybody else happy. It's between you and the Lord. It has to be real, real decision to trust Him for salvation. And James is saying here, can that fake faith, the empty, useless faith, can it really save you? Well, we know the answer to that is no. An empty, worthless, made-up, written-up profession, it's not going to save anybody. I made a profession of faith when I was very young. I thought I was saved for several years. Turns out I wasn't. I just made a profession that I was saved because everybody else was getting saved, got baptized, because all my buddies were getting baptized. It's not real. A fake faith is not going to save you. See the approach James takes in verse number 14, the question he asks. We see the appraisal in verse number 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? James gives us an example here, an illustration. It's pretty self-explanatory if you read the verse. He says, faith without works is like a brother or sister being naked and starving, and you go to them and tell them to depart in peace and be warm and filled, and you don't give them any of those supplies they need to accomplish that. You say, you get out of here, and you be warm and you be filled. That's pointless. That's how pointless faith without works is. It's a waste. You can say all day long you're saved and set apart and a born-again Christian, but if you never put any feet to your faith, you just act like told the naked and starving person to go and be warm. If you act like that, I don't know if many of you have seen the speech that the heretic Kenneth Copeland came out and did a few weeks ago. How he commanded the coronavirus to be gone and demanded it to be clean and be gone out of here. He blasphemed and called himself a prophet like God, and a bunch of crazy stuff. And of course, the next day the virus numbers went up. They didn't go away. They went up, of course. And yes, some people still follow him and still make him the almost billionaire that he is. And all he does is get up on stage and tells lies. That's the same kind of thing James is talking about here. Those that say they have faith, but you couldn't tell it. They don't act like you can't see it. You command the poor, naked, hungry person to go away and be warm and full, yet you do nothing about it. You don't try to help them. He says that is like a faith that is words only and doesn't have any feet to it. It's worthless, pointless. You can say it all day long, but if you don't mean it, if it's not in your heart, it's just the same as doing that to the hungry and homeless person. Verse number 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James here gives us the point, the bottom line. A faith without works is dead. It's alone. It's not doing anything. It's probably not real. Paul warns of the opposite of this. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Paul warns against dead works. James warns against dead faith. There must be a balance. We need both of these warnings, because there are many people stuck on either side of this argument. Those that say they're a Christian, you never see any fruit ever of their spiritual walk. They never do anything for the church. They never witness. They never do anything. Yet they say they're Christians. And you have the other side of that. Those that work themselves to death trying to be good enough will never get into heaven because they have no faith. There must be a balance. One without the other does not work. If you're saved, you will show good works. You'll have to. The Holy Spirit living inside of you is going to come out somewhere. Something that big gets on the inside is going to work its way outside at some point. You can't hide it forever. If you only work and you don't put any faith, eventually you're going to get tired of it and give up because it's worthless. You're working yourself to death. James goes on in verse number 18 and says basically the same thing I just said, but much more eloquently than I just said it. He's just saying, verse number 18, I'll read it again. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James here is just saying, you say you have faith, but you have nothing to back it up. You say you're a Christian, but you never do anything to prove it. James says, I can prove my faith with the works that I do. I have faith, but also look like a Christian. I have the works that I do. He says, you will believe I'm a Christian by the works that I do. No, it doesn't make me a Christian to do good works. It doesn't make you saved to do good works, but it proves what's on the inside. You ever meet those people that they never darken the doorstep of a church, except maybe on special occasions, and never do anything for the Lord? They live wicked lifestyles. Then when something goes wrong, they're asking for prayer, and they talk about their faith. Or if you're in need, they'll let you know that they're praying for you. And probably the first time they prayed in a long time, even if they pray then. That's what James is warning against here. He's just saying, don't be fake. If you're saved, you ought to act like it. If you're saved, if you have faith, it ought to be obvious. You ought to sound like a Christian. You ought to act like a Christian. People ought to be able to see your works and know where you stand. You ought to be able to tell something's different about you. Faith without works is dead. If you say you make a profession of salvation, but you live wickedly the rest of your life, never do anything for the Lord, it makes it hard to believe that you ever got the salvation in the first place. Faith without works is dead. We see the application. Verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James says, you believe there's a God, good for you. Basically what he's saying here. You don't think I mean. James said, so does the devil, James tells him. If they're, he says, even the devil's even better than you. They believe and they tremble. They're shivering in their boots, knowing that they are under the power of a great big God in heaven that could squash them like a little bug any chance he wanted to. James says the devils believe and they tremble. Just because you believe doesn't mean anything. Just because you say you believe does not make you saved. The devils believe in God. That doesn't make them saved. Satan believes and he knows who God is. He knows he's the Son of God. Doesn't make him saved. They don't have a real faith. James says, just saying that you believe God, he said, that doesn't prove anything. There's a lot of people, especially down south, knock on doors. This is kind of a joke. In North Carolina, we say everybody's been saved at least once or twice. Knock on doors. Everybody goes to church. Everybody's grandpa helped build the church. They all think they're saved because they're doing good works. It doesn't mean anything. James says, just saying that you believe, just saying that doesn't prove anything. James, in verse number 20, is just reiterating what he's already driven home, verse number 17. Now he says it's more of a question. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's a question. He says, but thou, O vain man, don't you understand that faith without works is dead? He said the same thing in verse 17. Now he says it again. He's emphasizing it. He's saying, come on, vain man, don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Don't you get it? Faith without works is dead. The application is, don't just say it, believe it, understand it, follow through with it. Just because you say you know God and never do anything about it doesn't mean anything. You ought to prove your salvation. You ought to prove it by good works. Faith without works is dead and useless. Works will not save you. Works won't get you there. But your faith ought to cause some good works. Number four, last we see the appeal. James, in his last six verses, is going to give us two biblical examples to drive his point home. That faith without works is not a real faith and, in fact, is dead. He gives us two scriptural examples in the Old Testament, Abraham and Rahab. He talks about Abraham, verse number 21. Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou hath faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James makes the case. Abraham was justified. He was proven by his works. Abraham had faith. We know that. We all agree that Abraham was a man of faith. He had to perform this act that James is talking about. He had to have faith. But James is making the point that his faith was put to the test, and it required him to show some good works. Paul uses Abraham to prove faith over and over again, especially in Romans 4. We learned a lot about that from Brother Fred, teaching Sunday school. Abraham is in Hebrews 11, which is called the Hall of Faith. Abraham is known for his faith. But James says, but his faith was proven by his works. And it was. Abraham was a man of faith, but it was not only faith. He had good works. He did something about putting some feet to his faith. James says he had faith. He had to climb that mountain with his son. His faith wrought with his good works. He not only had the faith, but his works were there. He followed through with God's commands. He took his own son up to the top of the mountain, built an altar, put his own promised son on top of the altar. By his works, his faith was made perfect. That word perfect there, we know, we said it before, it means complete. Because of Abraham's works and following through with God's commands until the angel stopped him, thankfully the angel did, Abraham's faith was made complete. It grew. He knew God would make a way. And when he came through it, Abraham's faith was made complete. He knew for a fact he could just follow and trust the Lord through every decision, every direction. He knew he could trust him. His faith was made perfect by his works. But that would not have taken place if he had not put feet to his faith and completed some works as well. One man said this about Abraham. The faith without the works would be hypocrisy. The works without the faith would be horrendous. If he said he had faith, but he wasn't willing to do what God said, he'd be a liar. We wouldn't put very much stock in Abraham. He'd be a hypocrite. But if he had no faith and just did the works of sacrificing his son, well, that obviously would have been terrible and probably would not have turned out the same way it turned out. In verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled. James talks about, he says scripture was fulfilled. It goes all the way back to Genesis 15:6, where it says it was counted to him for righteousness about Abraham. Abraham was known as the friend of God. Why? Was it because of his faith alone? No. Was it because of his works alone? No, it's because of his faith and his works put together. He put feet to it. He did something with the faith he had in the Lord. He put feet to his faith. His faith was a working faith. He exercised his faith. Then verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. James proves this point again. You see, it's not only works, it's only faith that takes both. He says Abraham proved his faith in God by the works he committed. We ought to prove what God's done. We ought to prove our faith in the Lord by our works. We ought to do something about it, not get saved, and then never do anything again, not put our faith in him, and never do anything else again. It ought to make you question your salvation if you can get away with that. Faith without works is dead. See, Abraham, we see Rahab, verse 25. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Rahab was nothing on her own. We know Rahab, we know her story. She was a heathen with a death sentence on her head. She was wicked, filthy, pagan, prostitute. She had one chance and she took it. Rahab knew Israel's history. I learned of that over in Joshua chapter number 6. The entire city of Jericho knew of Israel. They had heard all about Sihon and Og and how Israel had destroyed them through the Lord, and the Lord had helped them. She talks about the God of Israel. They were afraid of Israel. And Rahab believed in the God of Israel, that he would defeat her people for Israel. She believed. Not only believed, but she put feet to her faith, and she did her best to protect God's men. She hid them, and then she led them out another way. She protected them. She not only had faith, she had works. She didn't only have works. She didn't only help them, but you can read about how she believed that their God was going to destroy them. She believed in his power. She had fear in God Almighty. She had faith, and she put it to work. And she ended up being saved because of that. Jericho fell. Rahab's house stood. Why? Was it because of her profession alone? Not necessarily. By her works alone? Definitely not. By the combination of the two, she proved her faith with her works. She had a real faith that saved her. And then she's placed in the lineage of Christ. Ought to prove something. Verse number 26, James continues, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James leaves us with this. Faith without works is like a body with no spirit. A spirit means a current of air, the rational soul, the mental disposition. It means a dead body. A body without a spirit means is a literal dead body. So faith with no works is dead also, worthless, good for nothing, like a dead body is what James says here. Can I challenge you tonight? Are you putting your feet to your faith? You say you're a Christian. Are you acting like it? Would others know that you are a Christian by your works? Can you prove it by your works? What do your works prove? Would others know something's different about you? Can they tell a difference? Can they tell the difference in the way you walk? Can they tell the difference in the way you talk? In your attitude? In your temper? A faith without works is dead. What about your faith? Works alone can't save you. The faith alone probably isn't real. A faith without works is dead. It's probably not real. If you have no desire for God or the things of God, I know we're all sinners. We're all in the flesh. We all sin from time to time. I understand that. But if you have no desire for God or to do good, you have no drawback when you go to sin, I would do some checking up if I were you. Check up on your faith. Make sure it's real. Make sure it's living. If you have no desire for those good works, I check on my faith. Because a faith without works is dead. A faith that believes in God, supposedly believes in God, never does anything about it, not doing very much good for God. God doesn't save us. Let's live wickedly the rest of our lives. He doesn't save us. Let's go on living wickedly and doing whatever we want to. He saves us and cleans us up to do a work for him. We ought to be able to prove that to others. What is your works? What do your works prove? Faith without works is dead.